Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Well, I want to start off by saying thank you to Pastor. Oh, thank you, Sister Sharon. I'm so thankful for Sister Sharon. Despite my flaws, I'm still trying to figure out how technology works, and I tried making pamphlets today, y'all, and my friends called me the papa, and it's not for no reason. I'm not great at things like that, and so I'm working on it. Hopefully next time I teach, I can have a pamphlet, so that way y'all can bring a handheld and follow along. I know it's more effective, but I thank Pastor for the opportunity. Thank you, Sister C, for both of y'all, for your leadership for this church. We ought not to take it lightly to have good leadership. I'm not talking about me or Brother Zach or any other leadership. I'm talking about the ones who really, day in, day out, are pinpointing whatever we need to do. Because we're trying to help them. But really, the vision is, it's in them, and without vision, I believe it's in Proverbs, the people perish, and we need that vision. So I'm honoring my wife. Thank God for her; she puts up with me. Amen. Today's study, we're going to go on the awareness of God's presence energizes you for your work. And we're going to go to Colossians 3:23-25. Colossians 3:23-25, I believe it should be, it's up there, but it's probably really hard to read right now. So you might want your Bible. Colossians 3:23-25, and it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Verse 25, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." You may be seated. So, spoiler, I'm just going to be real frank, it's going to be slow. I'm going to try and go slow, but tonight we're going to talk about this lesson about work and why it's important for the people of God to work, and what does God think about work, and how do we find the will of God in our work? Doesn't God just provide everything? Would be the, you know, a babe in Christian would say that, "I'm born again, I've repented, I've been baptized in Jesus' name, I got the Holy Ghost, and everything's going to be good." God's going to provide. He is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide, and he's going to provide. But that doesn't mean we don't work. Friend, tonight we are going to look in the Word and see what the Lord has to say about it. First, let's look at Solomon and see what he says about work. In Ecclesiastes 2:24, it says, "There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God." So we should find a joy. We should enjoy our work. Now, does that mean every single time I go to work, I'm like, "Let's go. I'm enjoying this. This is just the best. I love my job." And I do love my job. I do enjoy delivering packages. Is it hard work? Yes, it is. But for the most part, I enjoy it. It's, you think that maybe it's a little monotonous. You just go around, you drive around, and you just give people their packages. But sometimes, at the end of the day, you think about how valuable those packages really are. What am I giving to people? I go to different places. I give medical supplies. I give people their birthday presents. And so In some aspects, it might not seem like it's important, but for somebody, it is. Not everyone's job is enjoyable. Some people are just trying to collect that check to pay the bills. There's nothing wrong with your job just being a job. But Solomon is saying that we need to make our soul find joy in it. We don't find joy in what we do when we get into a rut. Sometimes we go to work and it's day in, day out. We feel like it's just, we're not getting anywhere. We're just, it feels like this decline in our attitude maybe, and in the atmosphere may be declining, and it may put you in a place of a rut, and it may put you in a place where maybe it'd be better off if I just left, even if it meant I don't have a job. Now, I'm pretty sure being jobless is not the will of God. God doesn't want us to just quit when things get hard. Maybe God's trying to teach you through something. Maybe God's trying to show you some things through that the obstacles in your workplace. I digress. Friend, we can't let our feelings interfere with what God wants us to do and be in his kingdom. You may say, oh, Brother Neil, I'm just a bank teller. I'm just a laborer for a company that really don't care about me. But I want to say to you that there's something a little bit more to your job than what your description is. There's more to your job than that label on your desk, or maybe on your badge. The label that's on your badge doesn't identify what you're doing at that job. You're more than what you just do at that job. You have the opportunity to witness to the lost. This is just one of the things we're going to talk about tonight. When we're at work, we get to be that light. We get to have a chance to represent Jesus Christ. We get to be the ambassador. And if we go into work, even when everything is just chaos, everything is just, it's rough, we can have that Christ-like mindset and go into work and show them Jesus. But how do I do this? How do I go into this workplace that they don't care about me? I really don't truly care to be there. How do I get there? Well, first, we must understand the power of servanthood. If you want to be more like Jesus, we need to look at his model. Jesus was a servant. Jesus was the greatest man in the world, God himself in flesh, but he came to serve. He sat with others, sinners, lawyers, doctors, homeless. It didn't matter. He was there to serve. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28 says, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Apostle Paul wrote, "Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God," in Colossians 3:22. You may say to yourself, I just don't get paid what I'm working for. I mean, this is how much I work, and this is how much I'm collecting in my check, and I just don't think it really is adding up in my eyes. And we had to look and see that we had to just be a servant. Now, that doesn't mean we work for free in the world, because we still need to make our money. because our true reward is not found in our paycheck here. Our paycheck, it helps us with our bills and our needs, but I live my life wholly to God and love my coworkers because I love him and I want to make them and help them get to heaven. And it's a lot easier for me to teach a Bible study to my coworker if he doesn't hate me. If I have an attitude towards him, if I say something ugly to him, how much harder is it for me to break down that wall I just created so that way I can help him? Because if I throw a wall up, he's going to throw a wall up. And now I got two walls I got to take down. It's going to be a lot harder to reach him. Another reason why we should take a servant's mindset is it's the fastest way for promotion. When we are a servant and we show that, okay, we get paid this much, but I'm taking on responsibilities of a leader, or I'm taking on the responsibilities of maybe a management without the pay, your bosses and the higher-ups are going to see, okay, I see that there's a benefit here. There's somebody that's caring about this company. There's something very powerful when you take ownership in something, whether it be the church, whether it be your work, whether it be your possessions. You have to take ownership of them if you want to see some real value in them. That's the quickest way that you'll see either a digression in somebody's work or a progression in it, where you see when they stop caring, it's because they have lost that ownership with their company. They've lost their ownership with their relationship with their wife. It started because of a lack of ownership. And so you need to have that ownership with your work and with your church. Let's see here. Never doubt the impact of a humble spirit and eager to work attitude on everyone around you. The next example of why we need to have that servant mindset is we need to understand who's the boss. Yes, you have an executive, you have somebody obviously over you in your work that is telling you how do you do your job. But you have somebody else that you have that you do your job for. If the only reason why you're going to work is for them, it's not going to be enough motivation. We have a bigger motivation, a real boss that he notices things. He notices when you decide, oh, I'm going to give it my all here. And when he sees that you're giving it all, he's going to be the one that's going to invest more into you. We went over the scripture earlier. It says we are to work heartily as unto the Lord in all we do. We can't just go through the motions. We have to give it our all in everything we do. One thing that Christians can get wrong is that we like to categorize our life. That means we like to say, this part right here is church. This is my church time. This right here is my family time. This right here is my work time. And this is my play time. This is where I go play golf. This is where I go and play basketball. We like to categorize our life. But that's not what God wants us to do. It's all one. It's all in one facet. Your same mind that you have in church should be the same mind that you have in work. The same mind that you have in church should be the same mind that you have with your family. Amen? We can't go and flip back and forth and say, okay, I'm gonna look real good on Sunday or on Tuesday or on Thursday, and then when I'm with my family, I'm not that way. Or when I'm with my boss, I tell him how I think he should be running the company. We got to have that same submission with Christ as we do with our boss. That's in the Bible. Amen. We have to have that understanding that our worship here is important, but our worship out there can really impact somebody's life. Amen. Worship isn't just singing, shouting, dancing. Worship is who you are. As you live your life according to the will of God, that is your worship. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And I mean, I was at Bible college, and Sister Lauren can testify of the rap that the reputation that Pentecostals can get from what others that are Pentecostal have gone into the workforce, and they bring up a bad rap. I think Sister Lauren said one time that her boss said, we're not going to hire no more TBC students, because there was so many that came through, and they would work, but then they'd say, well, I need all these days off, and I can only work this much, and they wouldn't work with their worker, they wouldn't work with their boss about their schedule. They wouldn't be honest with them. They'd say, oh, I come in here, I'm ready to work, and then they're not ready to work. We had to be ready to work, even if it means we miss out on hanging out with our friends, if it means we miss out on certain things, then we got to give that up, because we're there to work. God has both a blessing for now and for later. If you're faithful to God, and God will be faithful to you. If you feel like you're not getting compensated for the work that you're always doing, God has the pockets. God has the deepest pockets. And so I'm not worried about what my company has given me, because I know what I'm missing. If I'm missing something, he's going to make a way. Because I'm going to give what I can to my company. I'm going to give all I can to the Lord. And so that way, when there's a need in my life, I can go to him and say, God, my pockets are empty, but I know yours aren't. Can you help me? God is watching how you perform, not just on how productive you are at your job, but how you are being a witness and how you leave that witness at your work. One of the biggest goals that I strive for when I go to a workplace is that when I leave, I want to leave a hole. And not in a negative sense. I'm not trying to hurt my company. I don't want to hurt my company. But what I want to do is I want to be so impactful, not just with my production, not just with who, like the numbers I'm pushing, but I want to be so productive that, and so in the will of God, that way when I leave, there is something missing. There's a story, I think it was Brother Nathaniel Urshan was talking about it. He was teaching Bible studies to these young men, and they were in the world doing drugs, and he'd go to their house, and they're doing drugs in front of him, but he's teaching Bible studies, teaching Bible studies, teaching Bible studies. And one day he stopped. Because, I mean, he had other Bible studies he had to go to, and he just stopped. He had to, so that way he could teach others. And one day, it had been 6 months after he stopped teaching Bible studies, he's preaching Sunday morning, and the main guy at that house comes. I mean, church is just about over. He comes walking right down to the middle, and he looks at Brother Urshan right in the eye, and he says, "It hasn't been the same since you left." He said, "There's no peace in my home." All he was doing was teaching Bible studies. And maybe you don't have the opportunity in that work environment to teach that Bible study, but you do have the opportunity to bring that peace of God, that when you walk in and you got the Holy Ghost and you start talking to them about God, you may not have a Bible study, but you can just talk to them about God. That peace that comes into that, to that workplace. I want to have such a witness that if God tells me to leave my job, that my friends are still calling me like, "Hey man, we miss you. We miss the conversations that we had with you." And I want them to call me and be like, "Hey, what time's your church service? I forgot already. What time is it?" That's the kind of testimony that I'm hoping that I'm leaving in my workplace. Amen. Let's lift up our hands and stand. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I love you, Jesus. God, I want to be like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, I trust you, God. God, I want to be so full of you, oh, God. God, that I'm faithful to you. I'm faithful in my work, God. Help me, Jesus, oh, Lord, in all things, oh, God. Hallelujah, we trust you, Jesus. Hallelujah, let your anointing, oh God, God, move in us outside these walls, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, how excellent you are, God. Thank you, Jesus, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's be all we can be for Jesus Christ. Every day. Every day. I want to lay my head down when I go to sleep and just think about, yep, I laid it out. I laid it out not for me. I laid it out for Jesus. Amen. Let's go to heaven how?
Yeah.
Amen. You're dismissed.